Good morning. Please be seated. Welcome to Burlington East Presbyterian Church. I am a member session and actually the duty elder this morning. I'd like to welcome anyone that is visiting with us today and ask you to please sign the guest book at the front entrance. And following the service, if you'd like to join us downstairs for a time of fellowship. I have a couple of announcements. Creef Hills, the lovely lunch that goes at Creef Hills on December the 11th. There are tickets available, so if you could speak to Renata before the 2nd, and if you need a ride, just call her and let her know. And poinsettias, we have poinsettias available for sale today, which will go into the sanctuary. So there will be somebody downstairs taking your orders. Thank you.
There is a lot of things going on today in our service that over the next number of weeks. A lot of different efforts that we have taking place that we've traditionally done from year to year. And we want to make sure we get word out about all of these different efforts and activities that are taking place. We're small in number today, I expect mainly because of the weather, so make sure you speak to the people who may not have made it to the service today. But you may have noticed, whether it's conspicuous by absence, I'm not sure, that we haven't done our Children's Wish program this year, coordinating with the school. There's a lot of background to that. But we have something else that we wanted to present to you as a possible different way of helping some children out in particular. And to give you kind of an outline of that, I'm going to call on Richard Duncan, who is a member at Knox Presbyterian Church downtown. They're heading up some of this. Richard is an acting captain with the Toronto Fire Service and came to our session recently to speak to us about an effort that's very worthwhile taking place in Winnipeg. So, Richard, I'll invite you to go up the lectern and tell us what you have in store.
Good morning. Bruce, thank you for giving me the opportunity to spend a few minutes with your congregation. Thank you for listening. I appreciate this opportunity. I hope no one will think me rude if I keep pivoting, because I'm not used to having a large crowd behind me. My name is Richard Duncan. I am the head of the Mission Outreach Committee at Knox Burlington, and yes, my wife is the minister. I'd like to talk to you about a congregation called Place of Hope Presbyterian Church in Winnipeg, Manitoba. It is an Indigenous congregation in the heart of Winnipeg. They worship out of a place called Winnipeg Intercity Mission. This is a congregation whose worship space is about a half to a third of this sanctuary. And when I was there with my wife this summer, there was about 80 people in the congregation. Of that number, easily half were you know, 20 or under, age 20 or under. And wouldn't we all like to have that problem? This was a very organic, chaotic service of about an hour and a half. All of you, if you were to attend, would be stunned and shocked by how fluid everything is going on around you, the conversations, the chatter, the interactions, the literally question and answer period with the minister in the middle of a sermon. You should try it. What am I leading up to? Okay, this congregation in its entirety lives at or below the poverty line, every one of them. And a number of teenagers are involved in this congregation. And they face problems from two directions. Being Indigenous, there is regrettably a great deal of intolerance, lack of education, ignorance, hatred, bigotry that they get from society in general. Being Christian, there's a lot of intolerance, anger, and resentment from the Indigenous community toward them. So they get it from both ends. The schooling that they face as children growing up, there's a lot of path along. So when they reach the high school level, when they're actually put to the test the way our children are, a lot of them are failing. They don't have the education they need to succeed with their non-Indigenous peers. There's a lot of gang violence. There's a lot of drugs, addictions, home violence, hatred, hunger. If you list a bad event, it's happening to them. And the congregation is one of their linchpins in their lives, their ability to come to church and worship. And yet, because they're such a small group, they feel alone. A lot of these children, like teenagers everywhere, think that they are the only ones facing the issues that they are facing, and their issues are magnified. My wife and I were there this summer. We've been trying to maintain a connection of sorts, Emma and myself, with this congregation for at least the last 20 years. I've helped send teen mission programs there to work with them. We've had their minister, Reverend Margaret Mullen, here to talk to our congregation. I believe some of you even attended the talk we had last year. When we were there last summer, I had in mind a mission project, because it is Knox's 175th anniversary this coming new year, 2020, and I thought a mission program to honor our 175th anniversary would be a good idea. And I went to Margaret, and I thought I'd try something different. I didn't tell her what we were going to do for her. I asked, "What do you need? What would help you?" I have no idea. I'm not a member of her congregation. I'm not indigenous. I have no idea what they face or what they feel or what they think. So I just asked, "What could we do for you that would help?" Send her kids to camp. They manage to scrape up enough money every 2 years to send one, and if they're lucky, two of their teenagers to Canada Youth 2020, to Canada Youth. It's every 2 years. It's 2020 is the next camp. It is in St. Catharines. And they have 15 teenagers of their congregation who have expressed a desire to go. Now, Margaret has some pretty strict rules of who gets to go. You must be a member of the congregation. You must be active in the congregation. So if you're thinking that it's somebody's cousin that drops by once every 6 months, he doesn't go. It's the teenager that shows up all the time. It's the teenager that helps with the youth program all the time. It's the teenager that helps in the kitchen. We do coffee fellowship at our church. You do coffee fellowship at your church. They do a meal, soup and sandwiches for everybody. And for some of them, that's their meal of the week. That's their highlight. So these are the teens, 15 of them, that would love to go to camp, but history has taught them one or two. And I've talked to Margaret about this, and how does this help them? It shows they're not alone. Not only are they not alone as a Christian, they're not alone as Indigenous Christians, because they meet Indigenous Christians from all over this country. They meet teens, Indigenous or otherwise, who face some of the same pushback from secular society that they do. They face teens who also face gang violence in other cities and yet cling to their faith. Margaret has found that of the teens who go, all of them stay in church. Think about that. How hard have we as parents, and I am one, how hard is it to grow in our children the desire to come when they're teens and in their 20s and just cling to the faith that we want them to have? Margaret has shown me that kids who go stay in school. It gives them promise. It gives them perspective. They stay out of gangs. It gives them the strength to say no. Margaret's told me in the last month that of the 15 children who want to go, three of them are now known to be suicidal. And the opportunity to send them to camp, believe it or not, gives them just enough hope to hang on, to give the families, Margaret and us, the possibility of helping them so that they can get better. I'd love to send all of them. I can't do that on my own. I'm not even sure my entire congregation can do that on our own. I'm not even sure we together can do that. Whomever we can send, we save. It sounds pretty fantastic, pretty unreasonable, but it's true. We can help them. In this era of truth and reconciliation, here is a stark, simple, easy method for us to reach our hand across the divide of lack of knowledge, of intolerance or indifference that has existed in our societies. We can form relationships, we can form friendships, we can form family and help these individuals. And in a way, it's just so simple. How can we not? Anything you can do for them, thank you. Whatever it is, thank you. And on an odd note, I now have to dash off and attend another church service.
Thank you, Richard.
This is not a reflection on Bruce.
Thank you.
Bruce has my phone number. If anybody has any questions, Bruce will give you my number and I will be happy to hear from you. Again, I thank you for your time and your indulgence. And please have a wonderful service.
Thank you, Richard.
Richard, thanks for coming in. Just before you run off, you can give me 1 minute. Richard was at our November session meeting, and session got fairly excited about this. And with the knowledge of Operation Christmas Child, the school project, not being launched this year, not happening this year, we would have normally, as a congregation, given about $1,200 for the families that were involved in Operation Christmas Child. So we're initiating the project today. We're calling it Canada Youth 2020. And we're going to give $1,200 that we would have given to those families to that project as a start. But further than that, we would like the congregation to consider also contributing to Canada Youth 2020. If you would have taken a name for a child in Operation Christmas Child, consider giving that money towards Canada Youth 2020. Ron has told us that we don't need any more money in the Community Christmas Dinner Fund. We have enough money left over from the previous years that we can fund this year's Christmas dinner already. If you would have contributed towards the Christmas dinner this year, consider giving it to Canada Youth 2020. Also, even if you weren't involved with those, we would like the congregation to consider giving to Canada Youth 2020 to help send those 15 youth from Winnipeg to St. Catharines to the conference in 2020. The cost per child, I believe, was about $1,200, Richard?
Between $1,100 and $1,200 per youth to go. That's airfare, plus transportation, lodging, food, registration, and I think $50 in pocket money so that if they want to go to a movie while they're here, they can.
And so this is tax deductible. There are special envelopes up on the bulletin boards now, or you can just use your regular envelope on the other line marked CY2020. And we've got all the funds directed towards this initiative. But guaranteed one from this congregation now, Richard. Thank you.
Again, thanks, Richard. Now, I know this has been an extended announcement time, but we were going to do this later in the service, but we wanted to get Richard on his way. So we're going to begin our service now. I just want us to take a moment to prepare our hearts for our actual service as we begin this morning. Now prepare for our call to worship as printed in your bulletins.
The days are surely coming, says the Lord,
when I will fulfill my promise to my people. Justice and righteousness will fill the land, and all will live in peace and safety.
We light this candle as a symbol of the hope we have in the promise of the Lord's coming.
For the Lord will fulfill his promise to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. A righteous branch will spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. Come, Lord Jesus, come.
Our first hymn, Hope is a Star, number 119.
Just the first verse of the Hope is a Star. Please be seated. We're kicking off Advent with a very spin here on our service, so just stick with us as we get through this. Today, we come before the Lord with our prayer of confession. We'll hold the Lord's Prayer until we get down into our communion portion of our service. But we do want to come before God and consider, especially as this is the new year for us in so many ways with Advent 1, consider the things that we've done that have caused us to stumble off God's path and call to our lives. And we are anticipating the return of Jesus, and we want to consider that in our life on a daily basis. Let's bow our heads in prayer. God of glory, we know you're coming at an unexpected hour, that second coming. We know that you have come that first time, and this is what Advent is all about, the anticipation of your arrival that first time. So, Lord, as we consider so many things, maybe this service is reflective of some of the things that are happening for a lot of people, in that it seems very busy and all over the place in some respects. And it's in those moments, Lord, when we can forget you. We want you as a part of this, like right in the center of our lives and in our hearts. But often we get bedazzled by all the things that need to be taken care of and the activities that take place. And we can also get overwhelmed maybe by this particular time of year as it approaches for other reasons. We reflect on loss and we reflect on being left out of things maybe, and maybe things aren't going as well as we'd like. It's these things, Lord, that can take us away from you, that can take our focus away from living for you. So in these next number of weeks as we go by, help us, Lord, to always take a moment to reflect on you and where we are in our walk with you. Help us, Lord, to live by your way, a way that brings honor and glory to your name, because that's why we're celebrating what we do at this particular time of year. It's not just being busy. It's not just giving. It's not just all those things involved with Christmas and Advent. Forgive us, Lord, for the times we forget you. Forgive us, Lord, for the times we leave you out of the decision-making process and panic. We claim this forgiveness in the name of Jesus, who is our righteousness and our Savior. Amen. Beloved, in our baptism, we've been bathed in light and clothed with grace. Therefore, we can put on the Lord Jesus Christ to cover us, and we'll read about that today. So know that we are all forgiven by Jesus, and we can live in peace. Amen. Thank you, choir. Very good. Yeah, I'm thrown off when I turn around, too. There's just so many people. This is great. I'm happy for that. Thank you, choir, for that lovely piece. Let's join together now in our children's hymn, Softly and Tenderly, number 640. And during the second verse, we'll have the children come forward for a short time together. Be seated. Hi guys, I have a question for you this morning. Trying to figure out how to word this. How would you know that time has been passing? Really easy one, I guess, in one sense. Yep. Now you don't have a clock, and you don't have a watch, and you don't have a cell phone. You've got nothing like that to look at. No watches, nothing. How can you tell time is passing? Yeah, you both said, yeah? So the sun is a good indicator to let you know, but if you can't see the sun, you know it's light, and then when it's dark, you know the day has gone by, right? So that's one way of telling time. Okay. What's another way? Let me think. Can you think of another way maybe? Yeah? You could count the seconds. It's a lot of counting, but you could do that. There's another way we can do that in church in particular. We can look at our Advent candles, and we can tell that time has gone by because we've lit the first one. So that's week one of Advent, the first Sunday, getting closer to Christmas. And every Sunday we'll light another one. So time is passing because we're lighting more candles. And we can tell the time has gone by. You know, it's letting us be in anticipation of something that's going to happen. What happens? When do we light the middle candle? Do you know? Yep. Christmas Eve, yep. And then we know that the next morning is going to be Christmas morning. And so you get kind of, so as those candles get lit, number one, number two, number three, number four. When number five is lit, you're getting excited because tomorrow's going to be Christmas. You'll know time's gone by. It's kind of like, if I did use my cell phone. You know, texting is a really neat thing. You guys do texting at all?
Yeah,
a little bit? Yeah? Yeah, you do. Madeline's laughing because she does it all the time. Here's what happens with Donna, my wife, her sister in particular, and I can pick on her because she's not here. I don't mean Donna, I mean her sister. If I text her for some reason, or Donna texts her sister, we wait. We've sent the text, we know she's home, we know she has a cell phone in her hand, and we wait every time. And I can tell you, I know how much time has gone by, because it's got to be 30 minutes before she gets back to us. And she'll text and say, we might say, how are things going? She'll text back after 30 minutes, everything's fine. How's things with you? We text back, everything's going good. Anything, any news? And we wait. And we wait. And we wait. And we get kind of, well, that anticipation, that waiting and getting excited is not just frustration. It's something, we might get some good news here. So when we see that fourth candle lit up here, we know that the fifth candle is going to be lit, and then we're going to be celebrating the birth of Jesus, and we can get very excited, and that's what Advent for us is really all about, those weeks before Christmas. Yep. Yeah. She's slow to get back to you, too, yeah. But it's we get really excited, though, about that Christmas morning coming, that we can celebrate the time of Jesus. And so over the next few weeks, I hope we can get even more excited about that coming of Jesus, and we can think about that. Can we say a little prayer about Advent for today? Let's do that. Lord, thank you for the anticipation that we can understand through looking at our cell phones and waiting for somebody to call us or text us back, how we can look at the Advent candles and get excited because we're getting closer to that morning when we celebrate the birth of Jesus. Help these boys and girls, Lord, to understand how Jesus in their hearts and get excited about him and anticipate great things in their lives through Jesus. Bless them and their time together this morning. And we pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And as the boys and girls head off, we'll sing the last verse of our hymn and remain seated as we do. Time at our service is the time when we hear the Word of God read, and as we do that, we want to take a moment in prayer just to invite the Spirit of God to open our spiritual hearts, ears, minds, and commas to hear His voice. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we pray that you can just calm our minds. Help us to listen for your voice in this moment. You know, there's this idea of reading Scripture and just letting it flow. And we pray that that can happen this morning. And in that moment of silence and just focusing, we can hear your voice so that your Spirit can teach us. There may be a particular word that we hear in Scripture today that inspires us and speaks to our hearts. And we're only going to know that, Lord, if you can help us to focus and calm, quiet gentleness. So speak to us this day, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our first reading is taken from Psalm 122. That's in the Psalters you'll find in your pews, and Jane's going to lead us in that responsive psalm.
I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Jerusalem, built as a city, then is bound firmly together. To it the tribes go up. the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. Pray for peace of Jerusalem. For the sake of my relatives and friends, I will say, peace be with you.
For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good.
Thank you, Jane. Our Old Testament reading is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 2. That's found on page 631 in the Old Testament portion of your pew Bibles. Isaiah chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. The word that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many peoples shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall arbitrate for many peoples. He shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Our New Testament reading is taken from the book of Romans, Paul's letter to the church in Rome, and it's chapter 13 and found on page 162 in the New Testament portion of your pew Bibles. Romans 13, beginning at verse 11. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. And our gospel reading finally is taken from Matthew 24, beginning at verse 36, and that's page 27 in the New Testament part of your pew Bibles. Matthew 24, beginning at verse 36. But about that day and hour no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away, so too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken and one left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. This is the word of God. We'll sing now our next hymn, which is hymn number 315, A Mighty Fortress is Our God. As I was preparing for today, being the first Sunday of Advent, I was looking around at some different resources, and one other minister that I know had recorded a little message for ministers, actually, for prepping for this, and he started out by saying Happy New Year, because this is the first Sunday of the church calendar in that liturgical sense of the word. And I mentioned that last Sunday briefly to say that that was the sort of the last Sunday in our year. Advent is the beginning. So, you know, I know we in our calendar year, January 1st is the new year, but today would be a new year for us. We begin that cycle. And if you look it up, you can find it on the internet quite easily, and most of us have access in some capacity to the internet. You can look up liturgical year and you'll see a little disc come up, and there's different colors. Green is the biggest section of that, and that's what they call ordinary time, and when we're talking about the life and ministry of Jesus. And then we begin with the anticipation of the birth of Jesus in Advent. That's the beginning of the top of that circle, if you like. But depending on your personal church background, whatever congregation you may have grown up in or spent a great deal of time in, if it wasn't this one in particular, the term Advent, it might be something that may or may not have played a major factor in the season of worship. In fact, even the idea of a liturgical season may have been something that you didn't necessarily talk a lot about. You know, Advent's got a little bit more airtime, so to speak, in many churches. But for me, when I was younger and attending the church we did in Toronto, Advent wasn't a word that was used very much in that time. We just sort of, in those weeks leading up to Christmas, it seemed that things got busy. We had choir concerts and kids' concerts, and there was all these different efforts taking place. But Advent, the word, wasn't necessarily a part of that. We were kind of leading up to the anticipation of Christmas Eve. But we do talk a lot about Advent here. I think it's something that's important for us, because Advent is very much like the Lenten season. And the Lenten season is one where we prepare our hearts for that Easter event that takes place. And that's why Advent was, in fact, put together in so many ways way back when, was for us to spend these 4 weeks, 4 Sundays, preparing for the Christmas event. It's a long-standing part of the sort of bigger Christian tradition in that sense, whether they're Protestant or otherwise. And we begin each Sunday with a particular lighting of a candle that represents a theme that's been agreed to in that sense. And as we sang our song at the top of our service today, hope is that word. And it's an anticipation of something that's coming and a hope that will be brought into this world. So as we begin our Advent season, we are contemplating that word hope. But I've titled the sermon today to be watchful. And I want to explore that a little bit in light of hope. Our scriptures have been sort of around that, and that we are anticipating this birth of Jesus as we get closer and closer to the Christmas event, and then very quickly after that, we're into the preparing for the Easter event. But as we get ready this morning, let's just bow our heads for a moment, just in prayer. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my mind will be acceptable to you and your people. Lord, open our spiritual ears to hear your word, our spiritual eyes to see that truth that you have for us, Lord, this day. We pray this hopefully, assuredly, in the name of Jesus. Amen. One other thing that we do here at this congregation, and you all know this, is that we celebrate communion on the first Sunday of Advent, and it's worked out very well today that it's the 1st of December as well, so we're kind of lined up, all the calendars are kind of lined up in that respect, because we've got 4 Sundays that lead us up to and including Christmas Day itself. When I say be watchful, it reminds me clearly of that scripture where we read that Jesus is talking about not knowing the day or the hour of his return and his second return, if you like, or second coming, I guess is a better way to put that. He came at Christmas, not at Christmas itself, but at the time we're celebrating at his birth. And then we move through that Easter event where his body was crucified, buried, and he rose again and ascended into heaven. And he promised us through this particular scripture and through other messages that he delivered after his resurrection that he would return for us. And this is all part of that bigger picture that we need to stay focused on as much as possible. We need to be watchful. And it's not just about that second return. It's important, and it's an odd topic that's maybe to be talking about during Advent, because the second coming, the second return is something that's not necessarily talked about quite as much in the church conversation these days. In the 70s, it was a hot topic for a while, and then it kind of died off. But it's be watchful for those moments when we forget. And Advent season pushes us in that direction so many ways. Now, it's easy to say, in a generalized form, that during the Christmas season, we get all panicked and rushing around, and we're shopping, and we're doing all these different things. But that's not the reality for all of us, especially as we get older and our kids are older. Because when the kids aren't around, there's not as much hecticness in the household. Not quite the same anyway. You're not running around. I mean, I'm not building bikes anymore on Christmas Eve like I've done before and putting the last-minute touches on whatever we've purchased for them. Mostly now as we get a little stocking together, and I can do that in a minute, you know. So that it's maybe not quite as panic-stricken as it might have been at one time. But we still can lose focus. A growing epidemic that takes place during the season for so many people is a sense of loss. And at Christmas just reminds us of all that. We've lost people in our lives. We've lost very special loved ones in our lives and friends. We've lost pets maybe as well. These are all things that sort of mount up on us at this particular time. A time when there's an expectation that we're supposed to be excited and we're supposed to be happy and we're feeling anything but sometimes. And that gloms itself into the next sort of level of that where we're feeling guilty. You know, we're supposed to be happy, aren't we? We're supposed to be joyful in this time, and I'm not feeling joyful and happy necessarily at this particular time. I'm feeling kind of sad. And I guess I shouldn't feel sad. Like all the should-haves come out. We need to be watchful of those moments, because it's these moments that our focus is not on Jesus' birth. It's that change that's going to take place in the world. That's why we're doing this. It's not just being busy and forgetting. It's sometimes being not busy enough and forgetting. We're not being watchful in all aspects of this Advent season. And Jesus is heartily reminding us that we need to be watchful. We don't know the time or day when he's going to return. We don't know the time or day when he's going to call us. Now, I can, not meaning to stretch this point too much further, but none of us know when we'll be called. And I'm trying to couch that a little bit. You know, when I worked in the computer field, we had a very small shop, and we had this statement that we would make of the hit by a bus scenario. We wanted to make sure we had all our bases covered in case one of us got hit by a bus on the way to work one day and work wouldn't stop. The reality is none of us know when God will call us before him. We can plan and estimate and figure out and eat healthy and do all the things we need to do and still be called. Be watchful. Be watchful because we do not know the time or the day when Jesus' second return is coming. We do not know the time or day when we ourselves will be called before him. And that's a downer for Christmas, I get that. But the idea is we need to be in anticipation of Jesus in our lives every moment we have and be excited in that regard and keep our eyes focused on him so that when things seem sad or when things seem over busy or when things just seem ugh, that's when we need to stop and say, you know, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. Help me to focus on you right now. Because there's a lot of demands in this season and a lot of expectations in this season, a lot of expectations that I may put upon myself or others may also put upon one another. I want to focus on you. And that's why we're having communion today, one of the reasons. I think it's important for us to kick off this particular season of Advent with that statement that's on this table, do this in remembrance of me, so we're always focused and ready. We're always focused and ready for Jesus in our lives. So this is the first Sunday of Advent. We're going to stay focused. We're going to be watchful. And we're going to be excited in that regard because something wonderful is around the corner. Something very great is there for us to anticipate. Like that cell phone I told with the kids. I'm waiting for that call and it's going to come. Let's bow our heads. Lord, thank you for today and thank you for this reminder to stay focused on you no matter what. As we move into the rest of our service this morning, help us to stay focused on you in anticipation of the great things that you have in store for all of us. We pray this in and through the name of Jesus. Amen. As we move forward in our service, this is the time where we bring our work of our hands and the gifts of our lives as an offering of praise and worship to God. This is the time for our offering and tithes. Gracious God, we thank you for the work that you do in our lives from week to week, day to day, hour to hour. Bless this offering as a symbol of that thankfulness that we have, and bless it to be used to your glory in anticipation of your return and the work of your gospel in this world. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. Flowers in the sanctuary today have been lovingly placed by June Spence in loving memory of Jean Douglas, and we thank you, June, for doing that today. And thank you from week to week for doing this. This is a special time in our congregation. And it's a special time for us to be praying for others, and again, as we've been doing for some time now, we'll continue this Sunday and give you an opportunity to mention names of people that maybe need an intervention or a touch by God. And we all know somebody that needs something in their lives that they're struggling with and they need God's intervention. So whether you want to say that name out loud or just in your heart, that's okay. God hears it all the time. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we thank you for the hope you give us, and that's what keeps us watchful in so many ways. We thank you for that hope that secures us. It's not a wish, it's a hope, and it's assurance of something that's going to take place, and that is our hope. It's in you. And so, Lord, in that sense of hopefulness, of anticipation, of an assurance, we come before you, Lord, with people who in our lives who are in need. And we do pray for these children who've been teenagers who've been mentioned today in Winnipeg. The impact that them attending Canada Youth is almost unremarkable, that the change it can make in their lives. They're struggling with so much. So we pray for those ones that will be able to go, and pray for those that will be staying back. Bless them, Lord. And now we offer names up, Lord, of people in our lives. Lord, thank you for these names. Names that have been said quietly, names that have been said out loud. Bless them, Lord. Intervene in their lives. Help them to be watchful as well for your work, and all of us to be watchful for the work that you're about to do in these names. We pray all of this assuredly and hopefully in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, we're doing an active lesson today, and as our part of our communion. Boys and girls from the Sunday school are up on the balcony, and I'm waving to them, because they're in here to observe communion today, as opposed to just being told about it. So we want to keep them in mind as we move through this service, that this can be something that can touch their hearts in their own ways. So welcome, boys and girls, and we'll begin our communion service now. Hear the words of the institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord, on the night of his arrest, took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, shed for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, and do this in remembrance of me." Every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the saving death of the risen Lord until he comes again. So with thanksgiving, let us offer God our grateful praise. And we'll do that to start with and sing together verse 1 of Let Us Break Bread Together, number 548. Please turn to 539 in your hymn books as we move through this great prayer for Thanksgiving. 539, is that right? Yeah. And we'll read together the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. And again, you can turn to 564 for the Great Prayer of Thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. With joy we praise you, gracious God, for you have created heaven and earth, made us in your image, and kept covenant with us, even when we fell into sin. We give you thanks for Jesus Christ, our Lord, who by his life, his death, and his resurrection opened to us a new way to everlasting life. Therefore, we join with our voices, with the whole creation, to lift our hearts in joyful praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We also give thanks to God the Father that our Savior, Jesus Christ, before he suffered, gave us this memorial of his sacrifice until he returns. At his Last Supper, the Lord Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took a cup after supper and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me." Whenever we eat and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. Therefore, we proclaim our faith as signed and sealed in this sacrament. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Lord, our God, send your Holy Spirit so that this bread and cup may be for us that symbol of the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. May we and all your saints be united with Christ and remain faithful in hope and love. Gather your whole church, O Lord, into the glory of your kingdom. And now we join our hearts together in the prayer, the Lord's Prayer, as we recite it here on Sundays, not as printed in the book. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. The bread that we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. We who are many are one body, for we all share that same loaf. The cup which we give is thanks, is a sharing in the blood of Christ. The cup that we drink is our participation in the blood of Christ. Congregation of Jesus Christ, the Lord has prepared this table for all who love him, all who trust in him, all who trust in him alone for their salvation, all who are truly sorry for the things that they've done wrong, for the sins in their lives, and who sincerely believe in the Lord Jesus as their Savior, and who desire to live in obedience to him alone as Lord. All are now invited to come with gladness to this table of the Lord, the gifts of God for the people of God. Amen. This is the body of Christ, broken for you. Take, eat. This is the blood of Christ, shed for the forgiveness of sins. Take, drink. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Loving God, we thank you that you fed us in this sacrament, that you have united us with Christ. We thank you that we have a hope and anticipation in this Advent season, a hope and an anticipation of all that you will be bringing into this world and have brought into this world. You've given us a foretaste of that heavenly banquet in your eternal kingdom, another anticipation point for us. Lord, keep us in the power of your Spirit, always to live and to work to your praise and your glory for the sake of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. Join together now in our final hymn. We'll sing just verse 1 of this one. We have a story to tell to the nations, number 765, verse 1. Go forth into our Advent season. It's the first Sunday of that, as I've been saying. We go with hope and a sense of being watchful and in that anticipation of Jesus' return. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may God give you his peace in your going out and your coming in, in your lying down and your rising up, in your labor and in your leisure, in your laughter and in your tears. Until we all come to stand before Jesus in that day in which there is no sunset and no dawning. Amen.